Donald Trump's recent statements about Megyn Kelly, Carly Fiorina, the possibility of running as an independent candidate, are leaving little room for anything else. But the Republican presidential candidates are talking about policy and dismantling policies backed by President Obama on immigration, the nuclear deal with Iran, new coal emissions regulations. Trump, for instance, said he'd replace the Affordable Health Care Act, Obamacare, with something terrific. And here's what Ted Cruz says his first day in office would be like if he were elected president.
The first thing I intend to do is to rescind every illegal and unconstitutional executive action taken by Barack Obama.
How easy, though, is it to overturn an executive action? Julian Zelitzer is a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Hi, Julian.
Hi, how are you?
So I'm good. So let's start there. Ted Cruz talking about reversing executive actions. Talk about that, but use an example of something President Obama wanted to reverse in the George W. Bush presidency.
Well, we have examples of presidential orders being reversed. George Bush actually did that soon after taking office. In March 2001, he reversed arsenic standards that the Clinton administration had put into place, and it caused a huge controversy. President Obama's biggest thing he wanted to do was close down Guantanamo, but he actually hesitates. And by the time he, decides he wants to do it, the politics is such that he can't. So I think that remains one of his biggest frustrations.
Well, so you're saying that he did want to reverse a policy under George W. Bush, which was, of course, the detention center at Guantanamo Bay. He did do the executive order, but then he couldn't because of all the politics. People didn't want the inmates brought to facilities in the U.S., et cetera.
Yeah, he assumed that there was a consensus to do this, and even John McCain had come out in support of this, and he soon realized how quickly that would dissipate.
Well, McKenna president, you mentioned George W. Bush overturning a Clinton executive order. We hear Ted Cruz saying he's going to overturn executive orders, those that he thinks, I guess, are illegal and unconstitutional. Can you just do that? Can you just try to executive order out everything that the previous president had pushed in?
You can try. I don't think anyone's going to reverse everything a president has done, but that's the problem with executive orders. They're inherently weaker, and the next president has the same power to either try to reverse them or to use executive power to weaken a program. Reagan in the 1980s used to staff government agencies with people who opposed the programs they were running. So he put Clarence Thomas in charge of the EEOC, which dealt with affirmative action, and Thomas just wouldn't enforce the program.
So you can sort of eat away at something from inside an agency. What about legislation? We've talked about executive actions, but legislation that, say, a president pushed through Congress, say Obamacare. Republicans long saying they want to repeal and replace it, but the Supreme Court keeps upholding it. We're not, not a single branch government. So what would the next president have to do if that president wanted to dismantle Obamacare?
I don't think they're going to dismantle Obamacare. I think at this point, the best strategy would be to weaken it. So going back to the EEOC case, that would be a model for Republicans to have this program in effect. It's not going to be deemed unconstitutional. The Congress is not going to get rid of it, but you make it ineffective. So you don't allow the exchanges to work very well. You cut away at the funding for the agencies. You don't staff it with the right people. That's a way to make a program weak and maybe even more unpopular over time.
Some would say, and some of them who would say it would be Republicans, that that's what many anti-choice Republicans are doing right now with abortion and Roe v. Wade. Some have pledged to kill it with small cuts enacting requirements for clinics that effectively close those clinics down, for instance, or pushing to defund Planned Parenthood. Is that a way that somebody might overturn Roe v. Wade?
Well, it's worked. I mean, it has effectively curtailed the right to access to an abortion. This has been going on since the 1970s, first through Congress when Henry Hyde, an Illinois congressman, realized that rather than just getting rid of Roe v. Wade, the better idea was to put limits on when it can be used and to have federal funding prohibited from those kinds of services. So I do think this is something a Republican president with the support of a Republican Congress could do pretty effectively.
You don't necessarily go back into Congress and vote to overturn an entire program. You, as you say, gut it.
That's exactly right. And the hope is you understand the next president can do the same and reverse what you've done. But the hope is that once you make the change, politically it becomes less feasible for the next president to overturn it. That happened by the end of the Bush presidency. He actually reimposes – the EPA reimposes the arsenic standards that he got rid of at the beginning because it was an unpopular move and environmentalists mobilized in response.
Well, I was going to ask if maybe that's possibly – it sounds as if you're saying that, you know, at a certain point it may be too late to reverse something. And I want to ask you about immigration. Here's Carly Fiorina in the debate that many feel that she won handily, the small table debate, if you will, last Thursday. Let's listen.
We need to begin by undoing. I would begin by undoing a whole set of things that President Obama has done, whether it's illegal amnesty or this latest round of EPA regulations.
Right now, we take amnesty or immigration, rather. President Obama's executive actions on immigration have been curtailed for now by legal challenges. In February, a federal judge blocked his plan to protect some 5 million undocumented immigrants from deportation. So for now, that's on hold. But then there's, you know, the DREAM Act. Some have said that they will overturn that. This is the president's policy allowing children raised almost entirely in the U.S. to apply for citizenship, to go through a process to do that. Is there a point where something might be able to be reversed by someone who doesn't agree with it, but there will be so many people benefiting that it would be politically distasteful, even for those who are against it?
Yes, I think that's actually the case with most executive actions. Even though they don't have the power of legislation behind them, gradually people become accustomed to the benefit. So we have to see if the courts allow the immigration changes to go through. But if they do, there'll be millions of people in this country who are depending on that executive order, and it will be much harder to take it away. Similarly already with the DREAM Act. Also raising the minimum wage for people working for federal contractors. It might be easy on paper to say I oppose that, but when millions of people are depending on that new revenue, that new salary, it won't be as easy for the next president, Republican or Democrat, to say I'm going to take that away.
The Iran nuclear deal, Democrats, Senator Chuck Schumer leading, some say they won't vote for it. He, of course, was a big no vote. But Rick Perry brought it up in the debate last week. Let's listen.
That Iran negotiation is going to be torn up on day one.
Can you tear that up?
Well, that's actually incredibly vulnerable. Yes, it's not a treaty. This is basically a deal that's been done through the White House. So there's all kinds of things a Republican president could do. They could refuse to participate in the panels that are administering this. They could raise questions publicly about whether Iran is agreeing to the terms or following the terms that they have to use. And I could imagine an attempt to reimpose sanctions. So I think this is a really vulnerable deal. And the fact it's not a treaty makes it even more vulnerable to a Republican president because there will be no stamp of approval from Congress from either party.
Julian Zelitzer again, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University, helping us look at policy for once. But in about the minute we have, can we just ask you, we are trying to think of a candidate who was not the party pick, who received, in other words, Donald Trump doesn't seem to be the favorite of many leaders of the party, who's received as much attention and was this bombastic, I think a word he'd like. Historically, can you compare him to someone?
Well, look, there's some examples like the Howard Deans, who in 2004 shook the party establishment and built a mobilization that lasted for a while and changed the conversation in the party. And then in the 60s, you had someone like Eugene McCarthy, who was not the party pick, but who drew on sentiment in the electorate, then on the Vietnam War in 1968, and made himself a major candidate. So it happens. The party can't always control, especially today, who their representative is going to be.
Can you think of anyone, though, who called people names? I mean, that's the character is – no, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is a character all himself. It's an era of celebrity politics. And, you know, Patrick Buchanan, I would say, had that edge to him.
But I think even he would say, no, I didn't. Julian Zelitzer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, thank you.
Thanks for having me.